I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We will help you keep it running thanks to the help we get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Well, I will be heading toward here in a few hours, as a matter of fact, to pick up another fine work that you've done on a 20-year-old vehicle that you've probably, for the most part, worked on for almost all that time.
All of its life. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. A little rusty now.
Well, it's getting tired, and that's the trouble is, you know, the components on the vehicle start to rust out, and this trip was mostly about rusted brake lines
that
we had to replace. And we kind of had a run on that this week. We had three or four of those.
No kidding.
That must have been the weather before and now or something, but all of a sudden the brake lines are all popping. And
isn't that something?
It happens on an old car.
It does.
And it's a big job. You know, the trouble with it is that, of course, everything that you're trying to replace doesn't come apart. And in the process, you have to get the bleeders open for the brakes and all that. And then the rest of the story is that the brake lines, of course, run along the frame rail above or next to the gas tank and all the cross.
Not really accessible.
Nothing's accessible, too.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's a big deal.
Well.
But anyway, you're back in business and on the road again.
Well, let's hope so, because, it's a safety feature, big time.
It is, yeah. I happened to be driving it when it broke, and I was glad it didn't happen to Tony because I thought he would have been concerned. I've of course, had it happen to me before, so I know what I'm up against.
but that could have been
bad
news. But yeah. So he's thrilled.
Luckily, you know, when a brake line fails like that, it's not that the pedal goes to the floor or near the floor, but it's not that the way the master cylinder is set up, you don't lose braking on all four wheels. You lose braking on half of the master cylinder.
Oh, so, interesting.
Until the fluid is completely gone, then, of course, you
then
lose it everywhere.
Luck.
But on the first press of the pedal or so, it's obviously affected, but you still can safely stop.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you have a question, it could be about brakes, could be about anything automotive. You want to talk to Dan, and maybe before you bring your car into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, at least you'll be armed with a little more information that you may not have had before. 651-989-9226. Folks have already called in. 651-989-9226. Or you can send Dan a text if you like. That's easier. 81807, 81807. Let's go to the phones. Ava's calling from Shakopee. Ava, you're on with Dan.
Good morning. 2002 Dodge Grand Caravan. It only happens in the morning. As soon as I drive away, start driving off, it shifts back into neutral or it goes into neutral or something. Then I got to play around and then it goes back into drive. It only happens in the morning. I had a new transmission filter and fluid put in last year.
Huh. I wonder if you should, first thing you should do is check the transmission fluid. If the transmission fluid is not full, the vehicle can neutralize like that, and it'll happen mostly when it's cold. It'll get worse as it continues to get low. But the first thing you should do is check the fluid if you haven't done that. And then, of course, if it continues to do that, probably the thing to do would be take it back where you had the transmission worked on and ask them to scan it for codes and get information out of it and see what's going on. But it, you know, obviously shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But you should have that.
Thank you for telling me.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thanks, Ava. Leaves the line open at 651-989-9226. Let's see who would be next. Tom is calling from Balsam Lake with a question. Hi, Tom.
Hi there. I got a 2009 Dodge Grand Caravan with a gas pressure problem, and there's no gas pressure regulator up on the under the hood anymore. Do I got to replace the whole fuel pump and drop the gas tank when I have a hard starting problem? I can turn the key off and on a couple times and we usually start, but now it hasn't happened for 3 days. What am I supposed to do?
Well, we do, there, you're right. There's no access point to hook up a fuel pressure gauge under the hood of that vehicle, and we have adapters that we can install, you know, at a shop to get a pressure gauge on there. I'm sure what you're describing is exactly what you think, that the fuel pressure or the fuel pump is getting weak, and it, by cycling the key two or three times, you're priming the pump. In other words, the pump runs for 2 or 3 seconds every time you turn the key on and off. And if you do that 2 or 3 times, it gets the pressure up to where it needs to be so that the car will start. And so that's what you're doing. But you should, it's an expensive big deal to replace the fuel pump on that. So I would suggest that you do have it professionally tested first and be sure that that is for sure what's going on. But you're right. If the fuel pump needs to be replaced, the tank needs to be removed from the car, and there's a module inside there that contains the fuel pump and a filter, and it contains the fuel pressure sending unit, and that whole assembly gets replaced in the process.
Big job.
Well, it's a big job. It's a big, expensive job.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, good luck with that, Tom. Good luck. 651-989-9226. We have callers in the line. We're going to get to, I think, who's next? It would be Lois and Sandy. Hang on. And everybody else. If you want to send a text to Dan, that's 81807. 81807. We'll be back with the phone callers in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our car care show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, where I mentioned earlier I'll be stopping over there in about 4 hours. Where do we find Lloyd's Automotive, Dan?
Well, just so you can find it properly.
Yes.
It's on Grand Avenue. We're at 982 Grand Avenue, right between Lexington and Victoria in St. Paul. If you're looking for us on the web, you can find us at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or Nick will be there this morning if you want to give us a call, 651-228-1316.
I can find it without a GPS.
Oh, good.
How about that?
Good.
Back to the phones we go, Dan. Now, Lois is calling from Crystal. Lois, you're on CCO with Dan.
Good morning. I have a 2003 Jeep Liberty, and I moved the passenger seat forward to make room for something in the back, and now I try to put the seat back, and it won't go back.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. But
there's a... That happens to us from time to time at the shop. We'll get in the car of a short person and put the seat back so that I can, you know, get in and
sure.
work the pedals. And then after doing that, the seat is stuck in that position. And of course, now it's my problem. I gotta take care of it. But at any rate, your passenger seat doesn't get used very much, or you know, in that way. And so, what's probably happened is the lever that you're pulling is attached to cables, and those cables have either gotten stuck in place, or the lever has gotten stuck a little bit, or the controllers that the cables are operating have gotten stuck just because they don't get used very often. If you swing by your shop and just ask them to help you with this, somebody will be able to reach underneath the seat and find the cables, and and move by moving the lever, you'll find the cables. Actually, if you want just someone to help you with this, if you move the lever, you'll see the cables moving. And oftentimes, if you just pull the cable a little bit further by hand, in other words, pull the lever as far as it'll go, and then give the cable a little nudge, and then it'll move far enough, and you can put the seat back where it belongs.
Oh, great!
Yeah, but just have somebody look underneath there for the cables, and they'll find them.
Good deal. Thanks, Lois. Good luck with that. Sandy in Minneapolis is next on CCO. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. This has been a recent problem within the past week. We turned the car off, and it appears that the air conditioner makes a clicking sound that lasts for about a minute. The sound seems to be coming from the right-hand side of the car. What's causing it and damage, or what's going on?
Is it a GM product, a Chevy? Or
Chevy, an 08 Impala.
Yeah. The on the car, there's a button that you push that changes the air. It's a recirculation button, and it changes where the air flows from. It either comes fresh from the outside, or it recycles the air on the inside.
Okay.
And there's a little electric motor that operates that door, and that little electric motor has failed. And
are we talking big bucks?
Oh, no. It's an easy diagnosis. There's actually service bulletins on it about that problem. And you'll notice that when it's making the noise, if you switch that door, you'll notice that the noise changes.
Okay.
And that's kind of that's a way to confirm that it is that motor. And no, the motor's not very expensive, and it's behind the glove box, so you have to take the dash apart a little bit. But
what if we continue to use the air conditioner? What damage will there be?
It's not hurting anything. It's
okay.
Just
all right.
That door's not switching like it's supposed to when you want it to, but the it's just the irritation of the noise is the only problem.
So not to worry.
Not to worry.
Thank you, Sandy. Are you good? Who's next before we break? Ernest is calling from Columbia Heights. Ernest, you're on CCO.
Hello. My car, when it sits for a while, after I drive it, and I turn it back on, turn it on, it'll make this noise. It'll make that noise, and then I turn the key back to the off position, it'll start back up. You might know what that might be.
I don't without hearing it. What kind of car is it?
It's a 2004 Ford Taurus. I'm sitting in there right now, but it'll probably start up now.
Yeah. Well, that's the trouble. Noises are tricky. We at the shop sometimes ask people to reproduce the noise for us when they're standing at the counter there, and it's pretty funny some of the things that we hear. But
do that for a reason. You're not trying to make them feel bad.
No, not at all.
No.
But sort of. It is kind of fun. But you know what I would do if I was you is if you stop into any shop, they'll gladly walk out and put their ear to it and tell you at least what area you're looking in for the noise. But to try and, if you're just telling with what you've told me, I don't have any idea. I mean, I just don't have any idea. There's a million places that noises can come from. And under a whole bunch of different circumstances. So I would almost need to hear it.
Sure you would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bring it in.
Well, bring it in anywhere. And like I say, I think anybody would be glad to at least tell you if it's a big deal or no big deal at all.
What is that noise sometimes that like a starter will make?
Well, if the starter is staying engaged, for example, that'll make a strange noise.
Yeah.
Or
kind of sounded like that.
Or if the teeth on the starter are getting weak or getting worn. They'll slip on the flywheel.
Okay.
And that's actually a pretty big deal because you don't want that to go on. I mean, that'll create more damage, and it can get very expensive if you let it go on too long. So I'd recommend that you take it in and try and reproduce the noise for somebody and get an idea of what it is.
Very good. We need to take a break, but we have more show to come. Dan's going to be here till about 7:45 when we bring in Jack Farrell, so keep that in mind. Back with more calls, and we'll pick up on text messages when we come back as well.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And Dan, we've got some callers and texters. Let's help these folks out before you have to take your leave today. John is calling from Robbinsdale. John, you're on CCO with Dan.
Yeah, I have a temperature gauge that isn't functioning. And I'm wondering what component down there, something that screwed into the block or something that activates the temperature gauge.
There is, but what kind of car is it?
It's a 1986 Chevy Sprint.
All right. There's a temp sender, usually on the cylinder head somewhere, and that's an old enough vintage where you could actually test that yourself if you want. If you find the sender itself, disconnect it, and see if that changes anything. If it doesn't, you can on that car, you can safely ground that wire. In other words, take a jumper wire and go from that wire to anywhere on the engine block, run that to ground, and then the temperature gauge should go completely the other direction. So if it's reading cold right now, it should go to complete hot. And if it does not, then the gauge on the dash has failed, or the wiring, but most likely the gauge on the dash has failed, and that'll need to be repaired. But if you can't make that gauge move by grounding the wire, then the gauge itself is not working.
Gauge itself. Okay, right. There's a test. Good luck, John, with that. Let's talk to Brad in Otsego. Brad, you're on with Dan.
Hi. Just over a year ago, I replaced the turn signal switch on my 98 Buick Century because the left front bulb would not blink, but it would blink fine when I turned on the four-way flashers. Now what's happening is the turn signals quit working altogether. Nothing left, nothing right, no flasher, nothing. When I put on the four-way flashers, then things seem to work fine. Then they will continue to work. The turn signals will continue to work for a few weeks and then quit again. Any thoughts?
You know, the turn signals and the flashers are different circuits, or sort of different circuits. They might share a common flasher unit, but internally they're different. They either have two different flashers, or they share a common one, but internally they're different. So that's what I would do, is find out where the turn signal flasher is for the vehicle, and oftentimes it's around the steering column somewhere. Actually, when it's working at the time, or when it's working at the time, that's a good time to go looking for it, because at least you can turn it on and hear it.
Hear it, yeah. Yeah, true.
So find it and replace that, and I have a pretty good idea that that's going to take care of it. If not, then you're going to get into something weird, like, you know, maybe the turn signal switch that you installed is bad, or maybe when you installed it, it created a bad connection that over time has been allowed to get hot, and you know, maybe the connection is bad. But the turn signal flasher is very inexpensive, so I would start there, replace that, see if that takes care of it. If not, then you're probably going to have to take it in and get some help. I guess you've done the turn signal switch before, so that'd be the next step. But I always hate to just throw parts at cars,
because
it gets expensive. It's frustrating.
But you have said that even a new part can be a bad part.
Even new parts can be defective.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
So I would not rule that out. But at any rate, I think if you brought it in and got a little testing done on it, you'd have more success.
Good luck with that, Brad. Thanks for the call. You know what we haven't done yet, Dan? We got to pick up on some text messages. Let's do that. 2002 Chevy Cavalier, 300,000 plus miles, still nice, shudders when braking, rotors and pads not so old, new rear brakes. Why the shudders?
Well, probably the new rotors, just like we said. The new rotors that you put on are no good. So you'll need to take those back and have them replaced under warranty, because they're not flat like they're supposed to be. And if you do that, that'll take care of it for you.
Texter says this: I have an 87 Camaro that has not been run for many years. Where do I start? Gas tank is dried out.
Yeah, that's a big challenge. the car itself will probably be fine electrically, electronically, and all that. I would not worry about any of that. But the fuel gets old. The fuel causes trouble in the fuel system. So an 87 Camaro, that's probably fuel injected. But at any rate, the fuel system will need to be cleaned out, changed. Don't try and start the car until you do that, because that's only going to make the problem worse.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we would disconnect all the fuel lines. We would blow them back. We would probably take the tank out and at least inspect it, drain everything out of there that's in there. We would clean that tank if it's not all full of rust and corrosion. You know, make sure that all of that is clean. And then when I know it's all clean, then I would try starting it and see what you get.
Okay. Another texter says, I have a, listen to this, a 2010 Equinox with 425,436 miles so far.
Geez, they should park it once in a while.
I turned ignition key on and just hear a click, turn off and back on again, engine starts. Also, every now and then, Titan gas cap displays on my vehicle.
Yeah, well, Titan gas cap is, it's the...
Separate issue?
Well, it is. The vehicle's required to do an emissions or a evaporative test to be sure that the gas tank system is sealed correctly. And if it is, then the, or if it's not, then it'll turn that light on and so that you know that you need to bring it in and have that fixed. But the, what was the first part of
it? It clicks. The first time it clicks.
The first click is, well... There again, if I could hear it, I could tell you. But
yeah,
that's kind of one of the symptoms of a failing starter. If you turn it and it's a good hard solid sounding click, then usually that's the starter itself that's failing, and then you try it again and it happens to work. But at any rate, you would almost need to ask a professional to listen to that and tell you what it
Narrow
sounds
it down.
Like. Yeah,
well, this one we have to get some help definitely. Bought a 2008 Ford Explorer. FM radio works, but not the AM. Any suggestions?
We just fixed it on your car.
You did, yeah, yeah. And quite well, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, the something's wrong with the antenna.
Yeah.
And I think on yours, when we actually got it apart, we found that it was all nasty and corroded.
Yeah.
And so it was not making the cable was all there, the antenna was there, everything was intact, but it wasn't making a good enough connection anymore to carry the sound waves through the system. FM does not need as much antenna as AM does, so that's why the FM still works. But if you bring it in and ask them to, in a worst case, replace the cable and the antenna, that'll take care of it for them.
Yeah.
I can't remember if we did that on
you
yours.
You did.
We did
yeah.
both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact. And it's clear as a bell.
Good.
Now.
Good.
So. In fact, I think you had to kind of rebuild it, as I recall.
Yeah, you know, on an older car, sometimes it takes a little redesign.
Yes. All right, do we have time? Yes. Pick up a more text. An 03 Civic, 230,000 miles. Air working intermittently. Tends to work in the mornings for a few minutes, then stops. Seems to be worse during hotter weather, of course. When working, works great. Any ideas of what to look for?
Well, it's probably low on gas. You know, the refrigerant is probably low. When it's cool and there's not much demand on it, it doesn't need as much. The pressures are different just by the outside air temperature, and so it'll work. And you don't need as much of it for it to work and feel good. And then as the day warms up, there's more demand on it. And actually, as the pressures get too high or too low, the system has a fail-safe and it actually shuts off.
Oh, okay.
So have the gas checked in it. Then another thing that we do when we service the air conditioning is we clean the condenser, which is out by the radiator. That oftentimes gets full of debris, and for the air conditioning to work properly, the refrigerant needs to be cooled off or it's going to cause trouble. And so we would rinse that off good with a garden hose and fill it up with a refrigerant, and I think you'll be just fine.
That'll do the job.
Yep.
I think we have time for one more text, Dan. Then we'll pick up on these other text messages. What do you say when you come back next week?
Sounds good.
Okay, an O2 Durango. The instrument cluster has a long delay in powering up, like a minute or two. Can I get the cluster fixed somehow? That comes from Steve in Minnetonka.
Yes, you can. There's actually a company here in town. I can't think of the name of it right now, but there's if you just search on the web, you'll find it. But there's a company right here in town and kind of in over by Highway 280 that rebuilds them. Actually, they rebuild them for all over the country. But we're lucky and we have them right here in town.
Right here. So
yeah.
Check it out.
So, yeah, they'll rebuild that and repair it for you.
What's the number at Lloyd's today? You're going to be open till noon.
I will. You can give us a call at 651-228-1316.
How about the website, too?
Website is Lloyds Automotive, LLOIDS, LloydsAutomotive.net.
All right, very good. I'll see you. Well, I'll see Nick today. But
yeah,
I'll
probably still be there. So I'll probably
see you in a few hours.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks very much, Dan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.